FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The date is April 19th, 2016. It's the day after Tax Day, but Tax Freedom Day, if you're like most people, other than you're elected and wannabe officials, still has a way to go, another month or two. But Jeff Berwick with us now, done so much work, Jeff, on the Shemitah, the biblical underpinning for what many believe is happening and more of what will be happening shortly. And we haven't talked in a bit, so welcome back.
Yeah, Kerry, how are you?
All right, so the Shemitah, I mean, that was last year. Now we're supposedly in a jubilee year. Although I don't know how you trace all this back, because a lot of this is, it goes back so many years. I don't see how it can be done, but let's assume that all of this is correct. What does it mean?
Yeah, you're right on that. It is very hard to exactly know what is real and what is not real. And I knew nothing about the Shemitah or the Jubilee until about 2 years ago when I read Jonathan Cahn's book, The Harbinger. And I found it quite fascinating that the last two major market collapses fell on the exact end day of the Shemitah. And then when you look back, it seems like almost every Shemitah has some sort of financial or sometimes political or military calamity happening right around on that date. And so I began looking into it. And it turned out that last year, so the Shemitah, for people who don't know, is every 7 years. It's actually in the Bible, talks about every seventh year is supposed to be a year sort of rest, a time of washing away of debts and things like that. Last year, the Shemitah ended on September 13th of 2015. And the third quarter of last year was the worst quarter in the market since the last Shemitah. $11 trillion was washed away during the third quarter, which is the end quarter of the Shemitah. So once again, it seemed to have happened. What happens is every seventh Shemitah, so every seventh seven-year period or every 49 years is something they call, or apparently they call, I'm not an expert on any of this, but I've just been looking into this ever since I found out about it, is something called the Jubilee year. So it happens every 49 years. And so I began to look into that, and I wasn't sure if that was a big deal or not. I talked to Jonathan Cahn, who wrote that book, and he said, yeah, the Jubilee is just what was supposed to happen in the Shemitah just carries on and even can grow bigger in the Jubilee year. And then I saw the Pope came out of nowhere in November and declared it an emergency Jubilee year. I found that incredibly interesting. That's when my senses started to wake up to maybe the Jubilee is really important. And then William White of the Bank of International Settlements came out a few months ago and said that we're on the verge of collapse. This could wash away everything. And then he called it a debt Jubilee. So I became more and more emboldened that maybe there is something to this Jubilee year. And essentially what I'm saying during all this is we're going to see a lot of chaos, a lot of crisis, a lot of calamities happen during this period. And we've seen so many things going on as preparation towards what I think is them wanting to install a new world currency, a new global taxation system. And this is not a conspiracy theory. They've been saying this publicly a lot lately. So there's a lot going on and a lot of preparation for something to come, apparently.
Yeah, well, the concept of the Jubilee is one that I've believed was inevitable because you get to a point in indebtedness, it just cannot mathematically be paid off unless you make the unit worthless and just print it up. Either way, the debt gets forgiven one way or the other. So I don't know if the Jubilee is tied into the Shemitah or not. It sounds like it. But basically, you have seven-year cycles, then you have seven of them, and then there's a grand Jubilee. And I guess it sounds like that's where we're at now, where basically in biblical times, all debts were forgiven, all slaves were set free, and they kind of reset the clock. So my feeling, Jeff, has always been that that these debt cycles always happen. They've been happening since forever because it's human nature to just take on too much debt and then be left with a mess that follows. So better to forgive it all and go on to the next cycle.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, it looks like no one's going to be set free during this Jubilee. It looks like they're going to enslave the entire planet if everything they're doing looks like that's what they're headed towards. I even think even this Panama Papers leak was part of it. Essentially, it only took me a few minutes and maybe a few hours to realize what had happened there. Once something goes is released and all of a sudden all the mainstream media in the world is all talking about it, I get very suspicious, because if someone were to release some information showing where, say, the $2.3 trillion that Donald Rumsfeld announced was missing from the Pentagon on September 10th, 2001, just before the accounting department of the Pentagon got blown up the next day, if someone were to announce they found out where that money went and it went to all the cronies, no one would talk about that on the mainstream media, or if they discovered other information like that. But with this Panama Papers, they were talking about it all over the media immediately, which immediately rang my spidey senses. And just looking into it for a few minutes or maybe a few hours, I was pretty much uncovered. It was very obvious that it was a release from the Western financial elites, and especially George Soros. And they were attacking a lot of their people they don't like the Prime Minister of Iceland, who was the only country, they were the only country during after the 2008 financial crisis and collapse during the last Shemitah that jailed bankers. And I don't think the banksters really like that. And so in this Panama Papers, they put in stuff about him, and he was essentially run out of office the very next day. And actually, the very next day, a number of the bankers were released from jail. So it's quite obvious that this was an attack on the enemies of the West, the people who are standing up to this banking system, to the central banksters, to the IMF, the BIS, and trying to bring in a one world currency and one world bank. So that was just the beginning of a number of things they've been doing over the last few weeks. So this is, again, I call it a financial false flag or a financial terrorist attack on essentially privacy and the ability to transact worldwide. They're trying to close it down right now. So when you brought up that the Shemitah is supposed to be a time where debts are forgiven and slaves are set free, a lot of these banksters are very into the occult. And I think they're trying to do the exact opposite during this period of time.
Yeah, well, it kind of reminds me of Anonymous. Same kind of thing. I always believed that was a similar exercise. And look, let's face it, Americans have known for a while Panama is not safe to keep your secrets there. The rest of the world hasn't really been that clued into the fact, but Panama signed onto a treaty with the U.S. a while back, and all of that data. And then I guess you've got to use lawyers wherever they are to do all these things. But Panama was not the place, the epicenter of tax evasion and foreign money havens for Americans, and hasn't been for decades. So that's what made me suspicious. Like, why Panama? Now, granted, this law firm has branches all over the place, but haven't heard of many Americans caught up in it, and we have seen a number of connections to the Clintons pop up from it, which is interesting. I'm just wondering, with the revelations on Putin's best friend, who happens to be worth a couple billion, what Putin's next move is going to be here.
Yeah, there's so many repercussions to what has happened, that's for sure. And when they attack Panama, and I had the same feelings on you as Panama, as a person who tries to help a lot of people to internationalize their assets and to get outside of some of the control systems of the government who claims to own them. I've told Americans many times when asked over the years, many of them will say, should I move to Panama? Should I move my assets to Panama? And I've always told them, well, Panama is incredibly tied into the U.S. ever since the U.S. took it over with Noriega and all that decades ago. And they've got their military there. The U.S. is incredibly tied into Panama. So I've told Americans that if you're looking to somewhat get away from all these controls of the government who claims to own you, the U.S. government, that Panama would be the least best place to go outside of the U.S., really one of the least best. And that turned out to be fairly true. You know, with these attacks of the Panama Papers, they've attacked so many people. Putin, I don't know what's going to happen, but you're totally correct on the Americans. There was really hardly any Americans named in it. That is another massive red flag that obviously came from the Western intelligence agencies or the elites who control them. I think the only American who was really named was Tina Turner, who was, she renounced her U.S. citizenship a few years ago, and they get very angry when you try to escape their tax farm. And that's all legal to do, by the way. And most of the stuff in the Panama Papers was all legal. They're trying to make it look like anyone who tries to have their assets outside of the control of the government who claims to own them is some sort of criminal, when in fact taxes are the true crime. Taxation is theft. So all this stuff gets very convoluted. But you're right, they hardly had any Americans in there, even though there might be some ways to connect to some Americans through some of the documents released. But in essence, if people were really just trying to get their assets outside of their own country, that's not a criminal act. And the there's one reason I read The Economist magazine. It's not because they have great information about what's about the economy, but they always have clues about what they're going to do. The Economist is run by the Rothschild family, and they're a big part of the financial elites who control the world. And it was just a few months ago they had an article that called Panama the problem child. And the reason was because Panama hadn't agreed to sign on to this global taxation tax treaty by the OECD. And then a few months later, they attacked Panama. So all this stuff is there's a lot, always more than meets the eye. It's never what they say it is in the media. And this is just another case of it.
Yeah, well, I always like deconstructing stories in the media, because that will sometimes, on occasion, lead you to what appears to be the truth. Sometimes there's just so many, so many levels, and it's like the skin of an onion, and you just keep peeling it back and peeling it back, but eventually it all falls into place, much like the war on cash right now. You just see, if you can't go to the bank and get cash, Jeff, how do you get cash? It becomes really difficult to do it, and that's the definite aim of the system now, is to get rid of it all. And I don't think they're going to rest until they do it.
Yeah, I've been shocked how quickly they're rolling it out. Really, a war on cash was not even thought about or talked about 5 years ago. And now they're almost getting rid of cash in numerous places, including Europe. And I think a part of this, it's all part of a plan. And you're right. This is like peeling the layers off an onion. And there's so much disinformation out there as well. For us to actually find out the truth is incredibly difficult. But at least we try. Most people don't. And they just think whatever's on the TV is the truth, when that's never the case. We're talking about this war on cash in Europe. They've already in numerous countries almost gotten rid of cash. Denmark, Sweden, Finland, Norway almost have gotten their citizens almost completely off of cash. And this is part of what I think is a bigger plan. So they had planned, and you pointed out at the very beginning, that this always happens. The world always ends up in too much debt. And this is the worst it's ever been. The world is, every country in the world is massively indebted. So they've sort of, this has been a big plan, in my opinion. And so as this has happened, they've had to keep interest rates very, very low. For example, the U.S. government has $19 trillion worth of debt, more debt than any government in the history of mankind ever, completely unpayable. So if they were to allow interest rates to go up to, say, 10%, that'd be $2 trillion or $1.9 trillion per year in interest payments alone, which is the entire tax extortion-based revenue of the U.S. government. So they'd be immediately insolvent. So they can't allow that. And this is happening all throughout Europe and throughout many other countries, including Japan, is even worse. So they keep interest rates down, and they move them down to zero, and they've realized that it has to go even lower if they're going to keep the system going a little while longer. And so something completely crazy, something that I think many people even imagined was possible, negative interest rates. That's just an insane concept, that you pay someone to let them borrow money from you is this is how insane the system's got. Yes. So they've got now negative interest rates throughout Europe. And so a lot of people, including a Swiss fund manager last year, said, I'm going to have to be paying millions or tens of millions of dollars a year on our massive balance at a bank just to hold it there. So I'm going to take it out in cash. So he actually went public on it and said, I'm going to take it out in cash. And the bank said no. So there you go. You're locked in the system. And they're going to keep doing that until everyone's locked into the system.
Yeah, I remember that quite well. And they wanted a pallet full of cash. And the bank said, nope, sorry, no cash for you. And that was it. That was the end of it. I mean, they didn't sue. They didn't do anything. Obviously, they were told. So, hey, once they get rid of cash, then you have to accept negative interest rates, or you have to just spend like there's no tomorrow because there isn't a tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a crazy system. We're headed towards complete craziness here. And they want to get everyone into the system. They're trying to roll out, and I've seen this happen as a writer of the Dollar Vigilante since 2010. I've been talking about this since then, and I've seen it way before then. They're trying to roll out an entire global taxation system. Even a few years ago, the U.S. did a coup in Paraguay because Paraguay didn't have an income tax. So they came in, deposed the president and put in their own puppet, and then immediately installed an income tax. You look at the tax on Libya, which has now been shown, the leaks of Hillary Clinton's emails show the main reason they attacked Libya was because they were planning to try to do a gold-backed currency. So very quickly, the U.S. Freedom fighters and spreaders of democracy came in, bombed and killed thousands of people and destroyed an entire country. It's just horrendous terrorist attack by the West. The very next day, it was one day after the bombing that destroyed the country, they installed a central bank. It's clear what they're trying to do. Most people don't see it, but what they're eventually going to do is get everyone into the system. There'll be no way to get out of the system. You'll then be in a system with negative interest rates, and they'll start to go even more negative. It'll go negative 3%, 4%, 5%. So you can imagine that. And then on top of that, they'll be inflating the currency, so you'll be losing on that, and you'll have no way to get outside of the system. And things like your IRS and IRA and 401k or whatever, sorry, not IRS, IRA and 401k, they will probably take all that and just say you have to buy government bonds with that. So you'll be stuck in government bonds paying negative interest rate. You'll be stuck in a bank account paying negative interest rate. And as many of us know, many of the reasons why many people grew wealthy in the West was due to things like compound interest. Well, you can imagine how unwealthy the West is going to be with negative compound interest and no way to escape it.
Reverse compound interest. You know, how long does it take your money to go to zero with reverse compound interest? And hey, it's a little bit scary out there and it makes you wonder what your choices are to avoid the coming storm, but they're limited.
They want to limit your choices. They're trying to make it so hard. Of course, the U.S. brought in FATCA, the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, a number of years ago to make it really hard for Americans to get their money outside of the U.S. Essentially was a nefarious capital control. And they did that while they went around the world and have now bullied pretty much every bank that if they have Americans as clients, they have to report directly to the IRS. So they want to know exactly where everyone's money is. This is an entire plan being rolled out to essentially bring it into a system that you can't escape from. They're trying to demonize gold. They're trying to make it also very difficult. It's become very difficult to buy and transport gold. Try transporting gold across borders and just see what happens. I'm still obviously a big fan of gold and silver as a way to protect yourself from this, but it's going to become more and more difficult. And a lot of people might say, oh, listen to this guy, he's a conspiracy theorist. Well, in 1933, the U.S. government confiscated gold. So I'm not saying anything that hasn't happened in the last of the free, which is a complete and total lie, as most people hopefully know, but many people don't still, it's going to happen. So actually one of that's why cryptocurrencies, by the way, for people who don't know much about cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, that's why they're doing so well. And I expect them to continue to do well because it's a system that they cannot control. There's no way for them to turn off Bitcoin, to arrest the Bitcoin CEO. There is no Bitcoin CEO, to go to the Bitcoin office and with their SWAT teams and shut it down, which they would if it existed. There's no way to do that. The only way to shut down Bitcoin is to turn off the power and turn off the internet, which is actually an option they're considering. That's why the internet kill switch is talked about all the time. People have to wake up. We are about to be completely enslaved. And no, I'm not crazy at all. I'm telling you the exact 100% truth. Now, some of the predictions I make might not come out to be, and that's because we can stop them. But if you haven't woken up, and if you think everything's going to be okay, and if you just ignore all this stuff, you'll wake up one day and you won't believe the world that you end up living in.
Yeah, that is the fear. And of course, that's what you write about regularly. And hey, got my start here. Yours was one of the websites, my regular go-to websites, dollarvigilante.com. Go check it out. And hey, Jeff, it's always good talking to you. Let's hope that the worst never happens, but always be prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. And for people who want to find out more about the Jubilee and Shemitah, I did a video just last month that's gone viral. Just check it out at SurviveShemitah.com. That's S-H-E-M-I-T-A-H.com. It's where I lay out exactly what I think has been going on and what they're trying to roll out. So I appreciate you, Kerry. You're always putting out great information, trying to help people wake up. And that's all we can do at this point is that's the only thing we can do is just try to help people to wake up before it's too late.
Yeah, exactly. Wake up before it's too late. As always, you'll find a link to Jeff's site in the show notes to this interview, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, place to go. And Jeff, we'll talk to you again soon. It's getting interesting.
It is. Thank you, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.